Hello, everyone, and welcome to Griplock Foundation Disc Golf Weekly Podcast. I'm Hunter, joined as always by Trevor Connor.
Hey.
Don't worry. Old Gray back here is not here to stay. If you're watching, if you're listening, you didn't notice any different. If you're watching, we're still in the process of moving. We have the podcast set up front. We just haven't screwed it into said wall because we have to cut a receptacle out of the middle of it. And we have a punishment live stream today. You know, a whole big thing. So we just had to kind of send it.
I mean, absolutely nothing.
And Hunter took away my visual privileges.
Well, yeah, Connor. Well, the real reason that Connor's not on camera today is because he fell into a giant vat of dye, and so he's currently blue
and naked.
Yep.
And so that part was is pretty
normal. A big fat liar.
Yes, that is a good movie.
The movie Big Fat Liar, where he's blue.
That's correct. Yeah. I thought that was keep going.
Before we get into today's show, first off, we're going to talk a little college nationals. Discmania has announced they're moving their distribution to Emporia. We got a fun Trevor's Trivia ahead. Talk about a little A-tier, react to some pro NBA counterparts, and then talk through our top 10 to finish out the show. Before we get into all of that, I got to thank our sponsor of today's episode. Many disc golfers have tons of extra discs cluttering up their closets and cars, and there are very few storage products on the market that are designed specifically for golf discs that don't waste any space. And unfortunately, the ones that do exist are terribly expensive. Thankfully, there is DiscBox. DiscBox is the only low-cost disc golf storage product on the market. It is a simple disc storage bin that holds up to 30 discs, requires no tape or glue, and is made from recycled material in the USA. Go to discboxdg.com and you will find quantity discounts, wholesale options, multiple colors, and most importantly, no order minimum. So you can order just a single box if you want. DiscBox also makes a great players pack item. Visit discboxdg.com today and get your collection organized. Use code FOUNDATION for 15% off your order.
I like those boxes. They're nice.
They're a good time.
There's my endorsement. I think they're nice. I have one at home.
Yeah, I have a few. They're very fun. Good time. Yeah. So this past weekend, College Disc Golf National Championship went down South Carolina, Rock Hill, off to Winthrop, if you will.
Do you feel responsible for what we did to Clayton?
Partially.
Okay, I do too.
Yeah. So Clayton Lewis.
Oh no.
He works for us. 1,000 rated.
He's our golden standard.
He's the best. He's the best putter Foundation has ever seen. Probably he's phenomenal. He's disgusting. And in the retail store, we had a Zuka cart, and so we had told him. He like said something about like wanting it. What would he have to do? Blah blah blah. And I told him if it didn't sell by the time you went to Nationals, you can have the Zuka cart. The only caveat is you have to use it at Nationals.
Yeah.
Didn't sell by the time you went to Nationals. As far as we're aware,
we
he took
seen
it.
Pictures.
So I'm assuming he used it. Did not perform at Nationals the way he would have wanted or would have been expected. And I do feel personally responsible.
I mean, I think he was like the 9th ranked player in the country when he took like 40th.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything, but yeah, no, wasn't great.
I'm going to say it.
He didn't play good. He didn't play good. He just had an off round. But the problem with college disc golf,
you get one round.
Is you get one round. You have one shot and you mess up. That's it. Then you have to be in the top, I think, 16 to get to the finals. That's it.
Or
top
21. Did you have a good day or not?
Yeah, if you have one good round, you're good. If you didn't, you're screwed.
That being said, the kid who won this year did like have a chance to win last year as well. He's pretty good.
Yeah, so let's just go ahead and talk singles while we're talking about it. Benjamin Zorn of Ferris State University took it down. You had Ilkin Groh of University of Cincinnati, who's probably the favorite, coming second.
Definitely.
And then you had Benjamin Wagner of Milligan University coming third. Benji in his... Benji is what he's referred to a lot. It's his Instagram username. In his acceptance speech, called us out.
Yeah, he did.
And I had to go back and look at why. Yeah. And it's because last year he was in contention. We were down at Nationals. He was in contention. And then he took a 10 last year during the finals. And when we were recapping, we just said, well, Benji was in it. And then I said, and then he slowed up a little bit. And Trevor goes, he didn't slow up. He just pumped the brakes completely. He took a 10. And then we said, yeah. And then we went on. And apparently that stuck with him and he used it as motivation.
Dang.
I will take it.
And he told us to suck it. And you know what? He's right. He has the ability to say that. He's
yes,
a national champ.
I will take a portion of your future proceeds in the sport of disc golf because my motivation.
How much of this national championship do you think we can have? Like, how much, what percentage are we national champions right now?
I would say that you're probably like 4%. I'm probably like 7%.
So a total of 11?
11% national champions.
I'm fine with that.
Should we hang that, a banner?
We should probably put a banner.
Yeah. out. We got some good spots.
We got some great spots.
11% probably, national championship.
You can probably hear the spots. We got a great area for
Can I have up. Like 0.7?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, 11.7.
We'll give Silas 0.3 and make it a nice 12. Even 12.
Yeah, 12% national Sweet. Champs here. Yeah. Percentage for every month.
All right, there That's we go.
Good. But no, real talk, he played great golf, and he was up by two going into the finals, and then on the guy that he ended up beating. He was down by two, caught him, beat him by three in the finals.
That's
so,
wild.
I believe they played, yeah, they played Lakefront, which was normal Winthrop Gold, I believe, for both round one and for the final. So in singles, that's how that went down. On the women's side, you had Kelly White from UNC taking it down over Genesis Beck from NC State, and then Atlanta Kruger came in third from Emporia State there. Doesn't seem like there was a ton of drama. It was a pretty close, though. Neck-and-neck match there. Kelly ended up winning by one stroke. So on the team side, how college disc golf works, which this is really fun, is basically you have the round of singles, you take all four scores, there's four players on the team, you average the score together, boom, that's that round. And then collegiate doubles, you split the team into two pairs and you play alternate shot. So you're playing best shot with your doubles partner, and then the other team chooses the best lie and throws from there. So four guys playing alt shot, or girls playing alt shot. Girls actually are just two. But UNC Charlotte completes what I believe was an undefeated season, capping it off in a playoff with the national title. So UNC Charlotte took it down. They actually hit like a 60-footer. You can find footage of it
Dude,
on Instagram
yeah, it was
to
insane.
Send it to the playoff with last year's champion, UNC or University of Cincinnati. Sorry, University of Cincinnati, who won last year, made it to the playoff this year, but ended up losing in the playoff. And then NC State came in third. So
yeah, shout out to UNC Charlotte. I mean, that undefeated season is insane.
Yeah, it's wild stuff.
And they were the favorites, and they got it done.
On D1 women's team, you had Liberty University winning by two over Clemson, coming in second, and then Emporia State came in third.
Where did the Emporia men's team finish? Did you mention?
I didn't mention. I don't know.
They were pretty far down.
They weren't pretty far down. I mean, it was a competitive nationals this year.
Dang.
Emporia came in fifth. They lost by five strokes.
Okay, it's getting really tough to win.
It's getting very tough to win. D2 men's, you had UNC, just normal UNC, taking it down and also in a playoff over University of Dayton. And then UNC Charlotte came in third, tied with Iowa State. And yeah. then the D3 men's team, we had one of our employees, Kyle Sennett, was a part of this.
What up?
Liberty University D3 took it down. Shout out
Heck
to that
yeah.
whole team. But Kyle, we now have to refer to him as Sir Champ.
Sir Champ.
Sir Champ.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir,
yes,
champ.
Sir, champ.
NC State came in second there. UNC Charlotte came in third there.
I got to say, I think that the they need to figure out how to get another round in there, because two rounds of singles with three rounds of doubles would be like perfect.
Well, that's what it used to be.
But one round of singles
is
whack. It's whack for the yeah. team scores, and it's whack for the individual.
Well, it's more
scores.
Whack for the individual. The team, I understand, because they're trying to make it a team sport.
Yeah, but it's the same, concept is like you could be a decent team, and one singles round can ruin your whole tournament.
But with the average, it's very hard for singles to ruin it. It's a lot harder.
It is harder, yeah, but
it used
still
to be.
Happens.
So back in my day, you just took all four scores, added it together,
just
and that was your score.
Up.
So instead, if you lost four strokes
yeah.
to a team, back then you lost four strokes. Nowadays, you'd only lost one. But then they also, at one point, had four, and you drop a third. The average is the best to like make it be truly team, but what I didn't like this year was singles of the first round. So it just opened it up. You come out the gates cold, and if you don't yeah. get off to the start you want, your chance at winning a single national title or becoming an All-Americans out the window.
Yeah, it should go doubles, singles, doubles, doubles probably, or even doubles, singles, doubles.
What they
like
used
that.
To do is it started on Wednesday afternoon. You played doubles, and then Thursday you played two rounds of singles.
Yeah.
And so it went singles, singles. So then Friday, Saturday, you had two more rounds of doubles to finish it out. So that's how it used
that's
to go.
Better.
I like that format. Because then
too.
You have one round of doubles to kind of like get into the flow of things,
yeah.
shake the rust off, then two rounds of singles, and then you go doubles, doubles.
Yep.
And then what they would do is I think Friday night was the singles finale, which worked out. But no, I definitely think that for college, because like as a player, becoming an All-American or having a chance at winning an individual title, like that's a really big deal for a collegiate player.
Yeah,
and so for it to come down to one round, that's how it was our senior year. It came
yeah.
down to one round, and it's not as fair.
If you're a college player that's good, and it's impossible not to do this, but you have to almost check yourself out a little bit and be like, I'm trying to play for the team title because that's really the one. The other one, it's, listen, and the guy who won it deserved it, but it's gimmicky, right? You play one round and then a half a round. That's if we did it as they did on the Pro Tour, nobody would consider that a real win. Everybody would say that was super gimmicky, like that's not a real
tournament.
Well,
I mean, look at how many times you have the first round, hot round, not go on to win.
Exactly. So I think if they added two rounds and then a final like 13, though, that would be good.
That'd
enough.
Be perfect.
That'd be good enough.
So the big news in disc golf kind of this past week was it came out, it was sent out to retailers, but then it got posted all over social media. I'm actually going to be reading, I hadn't seen this email, but it was posted to Reddit, which was that Dynamic Discs, but House of Discs is bringing Discmania to Emporia for their distribution. So what does that all look like? We'll talk about here.
The world.
So this was the email that was apparently sent out here. This is from Reddit. Says, hello friends, the one constant in life you can count on is change. We've gone through our fair share of changes over the years at Discmania. This includes major shifts such as where we call home all the way to where our discs are produced. At the core of these changes, there's remained one constant, a deep love of the game. As we turn the page on this to this next chapter, we will do so with the same unwavering love for the game. On behalf of everyone here in Wellington at Discmania USA, we thank you for many great years and look forward to the years to come. From California to Colorado and now Emporia, ever onward and upward. For more information on this new chapter, please see below for our message from David Hine, House of Discs North America General Manager. Sincerely, Dana Vici, Discmania USA Sales Manager and Discmaniac for Life. Key updates. New shipping location. Wholesale orders and products for Discmania will be shipped from Emporia, Kansas. Unified ordering platform. As a customer of discgolfdistribution.com, you now have the convenience of ordering products from multiple brands, including Discmania, Westside, Castoplast, Dynamic Disc, Latitude 64, and Handeye Supply Co., all from one location and one website. Transition period. The transition to the new shipping location and unified ordering platform will take place gradually between early April through May. Discmania products will soon be available for purchase on both sites. Keep an eye on the Disc Golf Distribution newsletters. Collaboration with teams. We encourage you to continue working closely with our dedicated sales and customer service teams to ensure that we maintain a high level of service you've come to expect from Discmania. We believe that this consolidation will not only simplify your ordering process, but also contribute to a more efficient and seamless experience. We greatly appreciate your partnership and cooperation during this transition. Should you have any questions, yada, yada, yada. I'm not going to put that information out there. Thanks for being a part of Discmania family. We look forward to providing you with improved and unified ordering experience. Sincerely, David Hine.
There you go.
So I reached out to Dana.
More plastic in Emporia.
I reached out to Dana on Twitter because what that didn't address is like, what's happening with Discmania USA, like in Colorado.
Yeah.
And so I just asked him basically like, hey, can you shed any light on like, what's the plan for the Colorado branch? And so he responded and said, all righty, a portion of our staff will transition to working for House of Discs. A portion will continue on in Colorado for Discmania, and a portion will no longer work for Discmania or House of Disc. So they are keeping their Colorado branch. What that Colorado branch will be used for, I'm not 100% positive.
Like, yeah, is it just like offices at that
point?
I
would assume, because distribution is moving to Emporia. So it seems like a portion of their staff is moving to Emporia to work there. The portion that's no longer, it's obviously not clear, was that like layoffs or were those people who were offered positions in Emporia and turned them down or what exactly happened there?
I'm sure there were some layoffs.
But anyways, well, it makes sense in this type of a transition for there to be some because you're moving into like the whole
There's
point of this
infrastructure
is to
Emporia.
Cut costs and you already have infrastructure and order fulfillment teams, stamping teams, all that in place, which would make like that's kind of the whole feels like the whole reason behind it. But what are your thoughts now? You know, before House of Disc kind of owned them, left everything as it is. Now they've brought Castoplast first under this disc golf distribution, and now they're bringing in Discmania. Thoughts on this consolidation?
I think that they're just really completing what you, when you are being like a big brand owner and you are like a parent company, like they're kind of functioning. This is just kind of what you do, right? It's like if you're Kraft Foods and you own all these different individual brands, you're still going to utilize your infrastructure as one big unit that can move all these individual brands and market them on their own. So I think that we're going to just continue to see the same marketing strategies where they're being marketing as their own brands, but on the back end side, because like this is back end stuff at the end of the day. Like it happened to become public info, and it is what it is. But like at the end of the day, from a brand standpoint, this doesn't change their strategy at all. This is just a culmination of what they were going to do eventually because it makes the most sense for them. I'm a little bummed out if some people lost their jobs. You never want to see that happen. And I do also, I'm a little bummed out for anybody that had to move from awesome Colorado to Emporia. I keep talking about Emporia that way. I don't really mean to be mean, but like I think most people, because were they near Denver? Like what, or Boulder? Are they
Wellington?
Wellington. Where's Wellington?
Let's look it up.
Let me get a little info on where Wellington is, because if it looks like it's absolutely delightful place in Colorado, I mean, people you typically love Colorado.
Colorado is pretty cool place.
That's what I'm saying.
And so like, Wellington's here. It's near Fort Collins, which I think is pretty big in Colorado. It's just outside Boulder.
Okay,
it's probably like 30 minutes from Boulder.
Well, anyways,
maybe an hour.
Even regardless of the geography, if people had to relocate their families or whatever, like that's a bummer. But yeah, I think
it's an hour outside of Denver.
I think this is just like this is a company move. You know, they bought this company. They're gonna do what they're gonna do with it, and I think it's good of them to even keep people on and try to keep some people in Colorado. They could have blown the whole thing up if they wanted to. House of Discs, man, they are in serious, and it's gonna be very interesting to see. You know, they've bought up a lot of these disc golf brands, and so far, they've bought brands that were in weaker positions, and that makes you believe that, like, you know, Discmania was a once, and I still love Discmania, but they were a once very big established company. Discs were manufactured by Innova. They never got past that hump, but that's what they were. They got into a bit of a weaker position. They got swallowed up. You know, Castoplast was a smaller brand. They might have been looking for just a way to move up a little bit, but they kind of got swallowed up. I wonder if in the future, what kind of like what larger companies that we think of now as like they're big, they're on their own, could find themselves in a weaker position and then get swallowed up. Like, is there a day where a big company, one of the big ones that we talk about, get pushed in an Innova or a Discraft, find themselves getting eaten up by the venture capitalist money? Like, I don't know. Like, have a parent company. Personally, I don't know about those ones because they have a lot of history behind them, but it's just interesting to think about. Like, they're becoming a huge force in disc golf. I mean, yeah. they're gonna own half the market share. They own more than half probably at this point.
Yeah, this from a business standpoint, it makes perfect sense. I'm kind of surprised that there wasn't like in that email. Now there could have been because I don't receive those emails for Foundation, so like I haven't seen the email that came to Foundation about the update. I just saw it on there. It was like one thing was tweeted out. I know Birdie Disc Golf like posted on Facebook a like screenshot of it, and then this was on Reddit. The like full. I'm assuming that was the email that was sent out to everyone. So what I'm surprised is that like in there wasn't a like some type of NDA or like it wasn't supposed to be leaked because like they didn't do a press release because as a fan you don't like seeing this to me at least.
No, like I said,
because it when stuff starts to feel more and more corporate. Then like a lot of like the grassroots, like you support a company like right now, like the support for like a Mint Discs, right? It's like you have pride in like finding a company like that before they get bigger.
No, there are definitely and people in Colorado or like that are attached. There's a lot of those disc golf fans that are very much grassroots, keep business out of disc golf, like that sort of thing. And people that might just be Colorado natives that like this move will probably lose them more fans than it obviously would gain them for sure.
Yeah, because to me then like if this move happens behind the scenes, your everyday fan, which still your everyday casual fan has no idea this happened.
Right.
Right. But like it could have been a big chunk of the market had no idea this happened.
Yeah.
And from the retail business side, this is great. I mean, because
it's more convenient.
You can order from all the same website. To be honest with you, the disc golf distribution, I used to order. Again, I don't do our ordering anymore, but when I did for like Dynamic and stuff, it was one of the smoothest processes. Not that Discmania's was bad. Theirs wasn't by any means. The big move that I was super excited about was when Castoplast did this.
Yeah.
Because Castoplast was hard to order from before.
They
now
were just
it's
tough
way
to
easier.
Get an account with.
But now, so like from the business standpoint, all makes perfect sense and honestly is a really good move.
Well, the flip side of the coin, right, is like now that the distribution is more convenient and easier and maybe they'll be able to get stock better, like who knows. Maybe their disc will be on more people's shelves and that maybe they'll gain more fans that way. That's the flip side, I guess.
Well, the other thing that I think some people were worried about is like the plastic change. Like for Castoplast, that was a big worry because like Discmania had already went through multiple different iterations, right? You had the, like, it's made by Innova, then they launched the Active line and the
Evolution line.
And so their plastic's already kind of all over the place. Then they stopped being made by Innova, then they launched their own C line. So, like, you don't have this, like, feel that you can just always feel and know this is Discmania. Over time, that'll build again. Castoplast, you do.
Yeah.
And that was a big one when Castoplast got bought out and, like, moved under House of Disc.
That was the core of their
brand. I was worried about is, like, is this going to just turn into Trilogy? And props to them, it hasn't.
Well, it's crazy. What is crazy is there are so few companies left that have built their brand on a plastic blend. I would say, like, Clash is one of the few left now, one of the smaller brands, that is. Obviously, there's your big ones, your MVPs, your Discraft, and your Innovas. But yeah, Clash is one of the few ones now that's, like, come onto the market and is kind of making a name for themselves with their plastic. And actually, they're kind of making a name for themselves with some of the innovative things they're trying to do with their plastic,
like
with
the tone
stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't, you're right. I think it's odd that it got pushed out. It's once again just, like, proves that any, here's the problem though. If you did have layoffs, NDA or not, there's a very higher chance of stuff like that getting out.
It would get out, but I'm saying it would have leaked out a lot slower,
right,
in, like, bits and pieces from here and there, versus, like, this all happens at once. It's one big news event and, like, everyone knows.
Yeah.
But the other thing I was gonna say is what I found out recently that I thought was fascinating is apparently something similar to this happened in skateboarding. I remember, I think I talked about this on the mailbag
a little bit. Yeah.
Because I walked into the coffee shop that my brother owns. My brother's just getting back into skateboarding. And he just had a new Almost board. And he pulled it out. And so we were, like, talking about it because
I was,
like,
a big Almost fan back in the day.
I remember Almost from, because, like, Rodney Mullins, is that his name?
Rodney Mullins is a
founder. He's founded Almost. So,
is it Almost that he founded?
I'm almost positive.
look it up,
I'll
make
Google,
sure.
I'll Google real quick.
I don't know, guys.
Rodney Mullins is, like, the founder of the flip tricks. He's the one who, like, invented the kickflip. I don't remember.
He's American. He considered blah, blah, blah. I mean, he's tied to Almost.
Is he? I don't know if he's the founder of it, because he didn't always skate Almost.
Almost Skateboard, founded by professional skateboarder Rodney Mullen.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah,
nice,
so
hunt.
He founded Almost. But then, as it grew, he sold it to a parent company similar to House of Discs that owns apparently Zero's a part of it, Almost, a bunch of different brands that you knew. And now Almost is closing, apparently. And so that's why my brother bought a board, is because he's a big Rodney Mullins fan, and, like, he was like, well, I want to get one before they close.
That's sick.
But what had happened was basically, like, this company came in, consolidated a bunch of them. All the owners, you know, got their money, but then they don't have the same feel of, like, before. Well, it was Rodney Mullins, like, founded this company. It was grassroots. You're supporting him, the father of, like, modern skateboarding, blah, blah, blah. Parent company comes in, and then, you know, some of the brands started to become unpopular, and they have to choose, why are we spending marketing money on X, Y, and Z? And next thing you know, Almost is closing.
Wow.
Almost gone.
You bring up an interesting
so
point, though.
That could be an interesting thing of, like, as they consolidate more and more, at some point, does it make sense to have Westside? At some point,
right,
does it make sense to have Castoplast?
So here's the kicker. So this is a new, having a parent brand entity in disc golf is much newer to the sport. So before, the business model of I'm creating a disc golf brand was, of course, I want to create this brand that turns into a company, and then it's its own thing, right? Now, all of a sudden, there's this idea that if I jump out the gates with a brand that is super hot and people love the discs, I could just get bought out by a House of Discs. And then House of Discs might buy me and say, well, we don't really want to have too many brands, but this one is really good. Westside goes. Like, that is now all of a sudden. And if more of those start to jump in, you could have these pools of disc golf. I mean, there are disc golfers that are shuddering at what I'm saying right now. But, like, that's what could happen, is, like, that all of a sudden becomes an idea. Because if I'm House of Discs and I buy disc golf companies, and next year this company starts and they're making these discs that people are just loving, and they love the innovative ways that they've designed them and everything, I'm like, I want to buy that company. I'm going to buy them while they're still young. They're now me. Like, that's now a part of disc golf that could be happening, and it wasn't here before. Like, that was never part of anybody's plan.
Yeah, so it's very interesting just to kind of keep a pulse on and keep a finger on, like, where, because, like, are there downsides to it? Absolutely. But are there upsides to it? Absolutely as well. Because one of the, like, upsides, as far as, you know, the, because some people don't like when stuff starts going corporate, right? But one of the things is that's you know, just black and white good is the venture capitalist company sees enough value in disc golf to be like, no, it's worth our time, energy, and we're putting our money where our mouth is and like investing heavily in the disc golf. Right. You know, at least like that's a good thing. Now, what they do after that, that's up to you, like, personally, if you want to support these brands or not. Because, like, again, a lot of disc golfers are, like, grassroots, love, and, like, those people might fall more. Because, like, even as a company gets too big, like, MVP's blown up. People don't, like, Gyronauts, some are still just loving that everyone's throwing what they're throwing.
Yeah.
But there's also a collection that's, like, isn't as interested in it because they liked it back when it was a smaller thing. And so now people are loving... You'll find this mindset with people who love Gateway, people who love Lone Star, people who love Mint. Is it like you like feeling a part of like a sub community? And when that sub community blows up, then it doesn't feel as close.
Well, here's the thing too. You know, think about how all the other industries work, and we're already seeing this in disc golf, where there's a lot more companies dabbling overseas with their plastic manufacturing. We are right now in a day where a lot of our plastic is still made in this country, or you know, the European countries at least, and you know they enjoy it there. Domestically, but like that might not always be the case. There could be a day where Innova Disc Golf is some of the pride of disc golf because it costs a little bit more, but it's still made in the USA. Where a lot of our other plastic, like a lot of new companies are going to come in and they're going to source it elsewhere. They're going to source it overseas, and so like, yeah, that's just the way that the tide is moving. I mean, it's a slow move, but
which would be that would be kind of cool to be able to say like eventually one day whenever it is like that, be like I've got an all American made bag. Yeah. That's kind of fun.
Yeah,
well, say that.
The thing with disc golf is like when it comes to a disc, you can't really undercut it that heavily
right now. Yeah,
because like where that's big is in a
you can only undercut it with labor.
Correct.
Well, no, I'm saying the end product, like the most expensive disc on the market, stock like premium disc, is $25.
Mm-hmm.
Like the most you can undercut that is like you could go to 12, mm-hmm. but then at 12, like you still have premium plastic made in the US for $15.
Right? Mm-hmm.
So if like Active Line is made overseas, Prodigy's Ace Line is made overseas, and they're still selling their premium plastic for like $10.
The top line disc,
like it's only
$5
separately.
Right? Yeah.
But now if the cheapest American made premium plastic's like 30,
yeah.
and you're able to get a disc for 12, okay, mm-hmm. now that's why every company's going to go to 12. Because like you got to be competitive, but as long as that margin's close, then I don't see that. I don't see that being on Discraft or Innova's radar.
Plastic
I think
prices go up though.
I think one of like the fears that could be involved with like a company that you really love, like a disc company, that going more corporate and being a part of something bigger like that, is that you kind of feel like something that you're passionate about and something that you love maybe isn't being appreciated by that big corporate company as much because you know the people that were running it before were so passionate about those discs being like a work of art that people love throwing.
Well, they can lose like sight of what the original brand image was.
But I mean, the way that you combat that is it'd be in a corporate company's interest to still keep those people involved.
The key is the founder.
So yeah, it doesn't mean that all that's going to be ruined.
No, absolutely not. Because, like, Dana Vici is still heavily involved.
And
like,
yeah, and which means that there still will be that in there.
Because, like, you... in one of the books I was just reading, and actually this is in a lot of, like, founder books, it talks about there is a period where Apple, right, Steve Jobs and... what's the other guy's name? Wozniak, whatever. Steve Jobs starts Apple. Grows it. The board, I believe it was the board of directors, gets rid of him. And then Apple goes through this huge decline because what they failed to realize was like a lot of people who worked there, a lot of people who believed in Apple and bought Apple, they weren't buying Apple to buy Apple. They were buying Apple because they believed in Steve Jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, people didn't even realize that. It's just he was such a visionary and like the way he talked and led people, like the people at the company weren't as productive when he was gone. The people didn't want to.
There are people to this day that don't buy because Tim Cook is there now instead of Steve.
They weren't as present. So, but what happened was that was a period Apple starts flying downward, and then the board like kind of freaked out a little bit, brought Steve Jobs back in, and instantly turned it back around because Apple wasn't the like Apple was making the product, but people were buying the vision of Steve Jobs.
Mm-hmm. What time period
that's very
was
similar
it that
they
did
like,
that, you know?
No, I don't remember.
Okay, I'm just curious.
But that's similar to a lot of disc golf companies. Is like people get... It's hard to meet a founder of a company, right? And like hear their... Like we went to Gateway. Mm-hmm. We met Dave McCormick.
Yeah.
It is hard to sit there, talk with him, regardless of what you feel about Gateway's plastic. It's hard to have him like passionately tell you why they do things the way they do and not pick up a wizard and feel different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because then you understand a lot more of like, well, this is why I thought their plastic was inconsistent just because they didn't know what they were doing. But it's because of these reasons now. Like, mm-hmm. It makes more sense. Like, you understand the reason behind it, and then you get behind that. But if out of nowhere, Gateway's a perfect example. If House of Discs were to, like, take over Gateway, right? And step one, they made everything perfectly consistent. No flashing. If you bought Hyper Diamond, it was the exact same every time. It's now made on robots, and David's gone. It's only going to be 5 to 7 years until Gateway is gone.
Yeah.
Because because that's not the charm of Gateway is not like the charm of Gateway is not this buttoned up perfect brand. Mm-hmm. That's not why people throw Gateway. So Gateway is probably the best example in this of like, if you remove the Gateway essence of Gateway, then all that's left is then it falls apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that could happen with the corporatization of disc golf.
Trying to win the battle of making the best discs is like a losing battle because a disc can only be like so good too.
Yeah.
Like you can only undercut a disc so much and a disc can only like a frisbee can only be such a good frisbee. You're better off with your brand. Yeah. Make the best disc that you can, but you also have to make like a certain feeling and a certain...
Oh, absolutely.
The thing about the plastic industry a lot of people don't realize is right now, at this moment, the disc golf companies out there are using quite literally the highest quality plastic available to them. The difference you feel in plastic comes down to the processing of that plastic, the blending of the plastic. But like the plastic, the grade plastic they use is like as high as you really can get without being like in the medical realm, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a very interesting industry.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to keep up with where disc golf goes. But it's time to jump into the fan favorite segment of Trevor's Trivia. Before we get in there, big announcement. Super excited announcement.
Big.
We are stoked to announce that Foundation Care is now included on all disc purchases at foundationdisc.com. So if you want to try a new mold or different plastic, but you're worried you might get stuck with it if you don't like it, worry no more. Foundation Care allows you to try a disc out risk-free for 30 days and just ship it back to us to exchange it for another if it isn't for you. Take it out to a field, take it out to the course, let your buddies use it, whatever. If you decide it doesn't do what you wanted it to do or fill that slot you wanted it, just exchange it for a disc you already know that you love. So nothing special required when you're purchasing. As long as you're in the USA, your purchase is covered from here on out. So head over to foundationdisc.com. Pick up whatever new mold you're feeling.
You don't have to purchase it anywhere.
Nope.
It's just on there.
It's just included, baby.
Is it just for this month or
No, forever. Permanent.
Holy cow.
Yep.
That's awesome.
If you buy a disc today and then you want to return it, you don't even have to email us. You just scroll to the bottom of the page. There's a little Foundation Care form button. You click that, fill the form out, and we'll give you a shipping label. Boom. Boom, bang, bomb.
That's awesome.
Boom, bang, bomb.
I wish I had that whenever I was just getting into
Same.
Disc golf.
Oh, exciting. My gosh. I would have switched out a disc a few times. I can think of a few.
Yeah.
Is he right, boys?
Yeah, he's right, boys.
Also, while we're making foundation announcements, this Friday is the grand opening of our new store.
It's going
to
be great.
5 p.m. Eastern time. First 100 people are going to get a free commemorative Brixton card of the Foundation 001 location, the OG location, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And also at 12 p.m. that day, there's a Bogey Bro like versus the nation battle type of event going down. You can register for that over at foundationdisc.com. Just search Bogey Bro verse in the top and you can be a part of that. It's $5 to register for that event, $5 per hole you're going to play. 100% of that goes back to the course that we're playing at, helping them with whatever they need. So if you want to be a part of that, you can be in a foundation video. And that also guarantees your spot in line as far as the Brixton card goes. So if you show up to the Foundation Nation event and a line does happen to form out front, not expecting it, but it could happen, then you don't have to worry about that. So
we just, every time we do one of these, we just build another awful triple Mando. Just the harshest Mando you've ever seen.
And every time that we do one of these, we just add to the triple Mando that already exists.
It just gets longer down. Okay.
All the money that you give will go to hanging more baskets.
That's right.
All the baskets
more
will be
hanging baskets. All right. I got a pretty fun thing here because
I'm in for fun.
I stumbled
today.
On a...
just I'm down today. For fun today.
Just today.
Just today.
I stumbled on a Reddit post from TriDiscs, you know, that website that does like the thing. And they have like their database of... They have all the molds in their database. So...
Okay.
Not an ad read. So they have a list of each manufacturer and how many molds they have.
Wow.
Which is pretty fun. So basically, the way we're going to play this game is...
active molds or like all time?
In their database, including out-of-production molds, it says. So the way we're going to play this is you guys are each going to get 5 picks. Whoever gets the most number of molds wins. We're going to disqualify Innova because it has twice as many just about as the next down. So Innova has 151 molds, and that is like twice as many as second place. So after that, it gets pretty relatively close. There's some that are bigger than others, though.
Mm.
Obviously, anything in the House of Discs or Trilogy or MVP ecosystems, they're all separated out.
Well, like is Axiom, Streamline, MVP 3 separate ones?
Correct. It's all separated out like that.
I'm stressed.
He gave the total for those and then also separated them out, which is really cool. So, okay. We'll pick a number.
5 picks.
Like you're going to go back and forth, draft 5 manufacturers, and we're going to add up the total amount of molds between those.
That's a lot of manufacturers.
There's 10 total.
Well, they have just about anyone you could think of. So
Black Zombie.
Trash Panda.
They're on here.
So, well, yeah, just Trash Panda will get you 2 molds.
Well, I'm just saying, actually, I think, yeah, you're right. Okay. I have a number behind my back. Hunter, what do you think it is?
3.
Connor?
2.
It was 6.
That's not fair. Hunter cheated.
Well, I just knew if I go 3, I'm 1 above Connor. So
you knew I was going to pick 2?
Of course.
Read you.
It's tattooed.
So do you
want
to go first?
Yeah, give me first.
Okay.
Yeah, of course you want first.
Yeah, why not?
I'll say this. The best one on the board, like there are a couple that are pretty close to it.
Discraft
is the highest available.
Nuts.
Discraft has 81 molds.
Yeah, baby. Oh yeah.
Innova for reference at 151 molds.
I really want to go in the Trilogy realm, but I don't know which one. Cause like I kinda want to say Dynamic, but also like I also Latitude is sneaky. I'm gonna go Latitude 64.
Good pick. Latitude
Thank you.
Has 71.
Okay.
One of the higher ones up there. It was a good one.
Ooh, may I ask a question?
Sure. I won't answer it if I think it's unfair, but you can ask it.
Well, you know what? I'm going to just take him. Give me Discmania.
Discmania's on there with 59 molds.
Because I'm thinking, like, does the PD2 get approved twice because it's 2 different molds?
Mm.
But I already guessed it, so I locked in.
I'm going Gateway. I feel like Gateway could have
a
lot.
That was a good one. I was thinking about
Gateway has 37 molds.
Oh, wow,
really?
Dang.
I feel like I'm constantly hearing about molds I didn't know
existed.
That
one surprised me a little bit. I think that was a
decent
pick.
That surprised me a lot. I feel like that's just a lie. I feel like it's just a lie.
Big Hunt.
There's no way they only have 37 molds.
Think about it though.
Well, there is a way.
I think
there is a way.
It's
truth. Yeah. But it
didn't
feel
like
that.
I don't think they have a ton of, like, once you get past the putters, like, I don't know that they have
that.
Now
that I think about it, I could probably name every one of them.
I have, like, 4 distance drivers.
Yeah.
Big Hunt. Still some big ones on the board.
Just give me Dynamic Discs.
Dynamic has 46.
West Side, please.
I don't think they have that.
I don't know if
that was
either.
Interesting.
Yeah. They're kind of tiny, right?
34 for West Side.
I'll take Prodigy, please.
Prodigy feels low.
There was the other monster.
Really? Prodigy feels low.
Oh, because they have Ace Line.
And they've got the V2s.
Yeah.
How many more do we have?
You have 2 picks. Hunter has 1. There's really one on the board that somebody's got to grab.
MVP?
There was. That was that was the highest one still available at 46. Hunter's last pick.
You know what? Give me DGA.
DGA has 29.
Ah.
So something, I'm just trying to beat 29 right now in my head. That's where my heart's at.
Some of these are fascinating. Like some of these
I feel like Lone Star could be sneaky. But could they haven't existed for a very long time, though.
Could be sneaky, though. Take it, coward.
I'll go...
Take Sacred Discs.
I'm going to go with... Yeah, I just want to know... I'll go Lone Star for funsies.
Lone Star was sneaky. 36 mole.
Wow. Heck yeah.
They were the highest one left on the board.
That was, yes.
That was a really good
I
pick.
Didn't think it was going to be more than
20. I don't think it's going to be enough.
I didn't think it was going to be more than 20.
Just because Hunt got that the 81 and the 72.
Well, I said West Side. That kind of killed me.
Yeah, that was an interesting choice.
Yeah, I hit
but
the brakes hard.
With dynamics.
What was the guy? What was the guy's name?
I'm not going to say it. Nope.
Come on, man.
No.
What guy's name?
The college disc golf guy that said that we motivated
Benjamin
him.
Zorn.
Benjamin Zorn.
I think his name, right?
I Benjamin Zorn that one.
I was refusing so that Connor couldn't get that joke.
Hey, I'm giving him more motivation.
Okay, Connor had 224.
Well, actually, Hunter Benjamin Zorned that one because he won.
That's true.
I'm just going to use that name for everything.
I Zorned it. Took it down.
You Zorned it.
Brought okay, home the win. I Zorned it.
Hunter, yeah, Hunter wins. Hunter had like 300, I think.
Hunter, you Zorned that.
Yes.
Good job.
Now, Trevor, that was a fun game.
Fascinating other ones on this list.
Yeah, I would love to hear that.
So I'll go. You guys got most of the top ones. The leader is if you go house all of the House of Disc molds, which is 229.
Yeah,
they wow, now have. But past you guys got all the top ones. Yikun comes in at 31.
Oh,
Millennium
sneaky.
At 28. Axiom at 28. Daredevil at 25. Legacy at 25.
Oh, Legacy.
Daredevil has 25. That's
Clash has
that's
22.
Crazy.
Vibram with 19. Cassoplast only has 19, which is kind of interesting.
Hmm.
Trying to see if there's any other surprising ones down here. Streamline only has 10 molds.
Yeah, I was not going
to
do Streamline.
To this day, which is kind of interesting.
How many did you say Axiom had?
I think they're 29.
29. I thought about them, but they scared me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
Pretty interesting stuff.
Not going to talk about this too much because I didn't get a chance to fully watch the coverage. This course looked phenomenal, though, per Simmon Ridge. Out
I've
in Arkansas.
I've heard of it.
So this eighth tier just went down out there, and it was pretty well attended, to be honest with you, which is why I wanted to at least bring it up. Jeremy Colling took it down. I think he said it was his first A-tier win in 6 years. I think
how
he
many
said.
A-tiers have you played, though?
I don't know.
That's the question.
But he won by two over Drew Gibson. It was also, he said, his first chase card victory. He won off the chase card.
Oh, that's pretty sick.
Oh, cool.
But
oh,
man. Raven Newsom came in third, and all three of them beat Nicholas Antola.
Hey.
Which is kind of crazy. Vino Makala was also in the field.
This is what we always said about Nicholas, though. This is why we get all excited about Nicholas, and then we kind of talk about, like, yeah, but he can be a little streaky. Like, if you're Nicholas and you're, like, a dominant guy, you don't go out to that and take fourth.
No, you shouldn't. And then on FBO, you had Kristen Tatar win. Why was she there? I don't know. But who else was there? Kristen's kryptonite owns Goggins. She
that
beat
is,
her by five.
I say that is the interesting thing. Is that
now, they were 12 strokes ahead of the field, but...
Yeah,
17 under for Kristen, 12 under for Owen, and then Maria Oliva came in third.
I'm
going to
say that that's actually like the biggest takeaway from this. Like the men's side, hey, good for Big Germ, but like that's just kind of a fun event for them. That's probably pretty important for Kristen to beat Owen. Obviously, the rest of the field is what it was, but the fact that she was able to go out there and beat her pretty convincingly. That could be good momentum for her.
It'll also be interesting.
Sometimes when you haven't won in a while, you just need to see yourself win.
She,
and by a while, I mean like a month because she did win earlier this year.
Rating wise, I think the update will be next week, if I'm not mistaken. Either tomorrow
no
or next week.
There's no way she gets it.
I don't know because she just went 997, 1036, 986. So I don't know if this will be in before the update or not.
She was having some bad events, though.
She did, but you don't know what's dropping. It'll be interesting. She did 999. She just needs that 1 point. So
I think she's going to go to 998.
Before we go to our top 10, I thought this would be fun. Trenton Korn tagged us in this on Twitter, and he said, disc golf stores and their comparisons to NBA players a threat.
I like briefly looked over this, but I wanted to like really dig into
it. Yeah, so I just thought it'd be fun, just our reaction, just hear what we say. So first one he compared is Paul McBeth. He gives a reason, so I'm going to read his reason probably.
I think we should like see if first say, do we agree with the reasoning, and then is there a better comp?
Okay. Paul McBeth to LeBron James.
Yeah.
The GOAT of our sport with the highest IQ in the game, showing signs of slowing down, but can he still pick up his superhero cape at the biggest moment? I agree with the reasoning, but LeBron's not the GOAT, so he'd have to go Paul McBeth to Michael Jordan would be the actual.
Well, you know what's
there.
Funny is...
Now, if we go active players, that's fine.
Here's what's actually interesting is...
But I don't know if this is an active... It is active list, so I'm okay with it, actually. Active list, LeBron's fine.
Yeah, the only... I would say... Yeah. The difference is, I mean, you can't compare their age directly. If you take them at face value, what they are now, though, I think LeBron is still better in the NBA.
Yes.
Comparatively to what Paul is doing right now. But Paul's in a weird spot right now. He's a little bit hurt. He did just win Worlds not that long ago. Same with LeBron, just won an NBA title not that long ago. So, yeah, I do think that he's realistically, yes, this comp makes sense. I'm not gonna overthink that comp because it's one of the least complex ones. So
next up, we have Calvin.
This one's interesting.
Calvin Heimberg to Jason Tatum, one of the elite of the elite and most consistent players in the game, has shown to constantly pull himself in championship contention, but is yet to get over the hump. With still plenty of time left in his career, it's only a matter of time.
So here's the thing with when you're talking about a team sport versus an individual sport, and you're talking about the NBA where it's so hard to beat the super teams, there's a lot of players you could put in this category. You could also put him, compare him to Luka Doncic, who is another guy who's like insane but hasn't won the big one yet. I think actually Tatum's better because like he's been to a finals, like he's like had pretty good success. I actually really like this comp.
I like the comp more so because I feel like I see Luka Doncic more. I feel like Luka is like a, like I feel like
you see Calvin all over the place.
But I feel like Calvin, like Luka, I feel like has more personality than Jason Tatum. And I feel like Calvin Heinberg would go more with the least of the two.
Definitely, yeah.
So I agreed with this one. I thought this one was good. I actually, to be honest with you, I didn't really have much qualms with any of them. Let's keep going.
This one I disagree with, I think.
Eagle McMahon to Paul George. At one point in time when he was younger, was considered to be next up when it comes to being the best in the game. We'll always wonder, what if he didn't get hurt? Older now, but still great. Can he get back to that level? My opinion, if we're going non-active players, this guy actually might still be active. I don't know. Ian McMahon is Derrick Rose.
Yeah. Okay.
Came up, MVP, looked like, I mean, he might be the greatest player of all time. Injury, question mark.
I would say the biggest issue is we haven't really gotten post-injury Ian McMahon yet at a full serving. Like, I don't... A year from now, he could be playing at 100%, and his little injury blip on his radar would be very small for his career. I would say he could also be compared to Tatum because Tatum got to the league really young, was supposed to be like the next great thing, and it just took him longer than people maybe expected to get his footing. I think that's what Ian McMahon is he got in really early. It just took him longer than people expected to win. And like he, that's the thing is like, I don't believe Paul George has any rings. And Ian McMahon won the European Open. He won Kono Piche Day, fake major, but it's a Mickey Mouse ring.
Major's a major.
But I'm just saying, like, I think that comp's a little off. He definitely didn't win with the Pacers. He hasn't won with the Clippers, and he didn't win the Thunder. So, no, I can tell you he doesn't have one.
Not won any championships in his career.
Yeah, so I think that comp's a little bit off because Ian McMahon, I think they're doing...
He's also not made the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I think they're doing Ian McMahon a disservice, actually, with that comp.
Well, no, I think that this comp's all based on Eagle doesn't come back fully. Which I think if he doesn't come back...
But he already won.
Paul
George, he didn't win. He never won. Ian McMahon has won at the highest level.
That's why, to me, if he doesn't come back, then Derrick Rose, which he didn't...
He won an MVP, but
he won an MVP
title.
At least.
It's true. Yeah.
And I feel like if Eagle doesn't come back, Derrick Rose, but if he...
But Derrick Rose also went out. He got that injury really early in his career.
Correct.
Ian McMahon's been around for a little bit.
Maybe Klay Thompson.
It's a tough one.
Ian McMahon, Klay Thompson comp.
I don't know. I have to think about it. When I saw it, it just didn't feel right.
If he comes back, this comp's awful.
Comment down below
if he comes back,
your good Eagle McMahon comp.
If he comes back at 100%, then Paul George isn't good enough to be compared to Eagle McMahon.
Paul George hasn't really been in the right situation. Wasn't good enough to carry a team. Never got on the right super team.
Simon Lazat compared to Damian Lillard.
That's another interesting one.
One of the most beloved players in sport, thanks to his personality and jaw-dropping shots. Been loyal for years, but recently went to a new team. Now that he's older, will he ever be a champion?
I found that one interesting, too. It's like, what do you define as champion? Simon has won a lot on tour in the last
I think
few
this
years.
Guy's just using majors to NBA championship.
Yeah,
that's
fair. And in that case, the Dame thing, I mean, he's cherry-picking a little bit, but you have to do that with these comps. I know they're not like... I think this one's fine because, like, yeah, he moves later in his career. Will he win that world title or that major title before his career is up? That's fair enough.
Well, also, Damian Lillard, isn't he like a dirty rapper? They both have like a successful career outside of
game. You go, Hunter. Stretch it a little. Yeah, I like that.
Next up, we have Anthony Barella to Zion Williamson.
This one's also kind of whack.
We've known about him for years and knew he had all the tools to be great. It took him a while, but it finally looks like he's broken out this season after many tries. Yeah, I don't like this one fully.
Yeah, I mean, Zion Williamson's, not to be mean guy, but most of his career struggle so far has been because he can't control his weight.
Well, can't control his weight, and he came into the league so athletic for his size that like he was just destined to be hurt.
Yeah.
Like there's just no way around
this
it.
Year though. I would actually, you know what? I remember now that the last one or this one, yeah, like is whatever. The next one's good. The last comp is one that was really bad.
Okay, next one's Gannon Bird of Victor Wembanyama.
This one's perfect.
A young, tall, lanky prospect who everyone can tell is clearly the future of the sport. Doesn't know what he doesn't know quite yet, but he's got the chance to have a legendary career.
Love it.
Makes sense.
Good comp.
Ricky Wysocki to Kevin Durant. And his prime was in a close battle to be considered the best player in the sport. Although he switched teams a few times, he's still known to be the very best when he's on. Can he get back to being a championship player?
I like
player?
That one. Kind of second fiddle to LeBron, like he was kind of second fiddle to Paul. But then there was a couple years where he kind of took over a little bit. Now, Kevin Durant had the help of Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, but we'll talk about that.
Well, I think it's good because, again, Kevin Durant, I feel like, gets robbed off of a lot of lists. Like, he's one of the greatest scorers of all time.
Yeah.
Which I think is similar to Ricky, where Ricky just gets outshone by other people.
Yeah.
In the same time.
No, it's a good comp.
James Conrad to Zach LaVine.
This one's kind of weird.
Talented player, don't get me wrong, but is largely remembered for one amazing moment he gave his fan in his career that broke social media. I get it. I get it, because the holy shot compared to Zach LaVine's dunk contest.
Zach LaVine, yeah.
That's all. That's it.
That might be a disservice to Zach LaVine, who's still a pretty good player in the league, to my knowledge.
But did Zach LaVine ever win a championship? James Conrad did.
Yeah, well, once again, the whole championship thing gets a little fuzzy. You can't win in the NBA unless you've got a super team.
Yeah, I get this, though. It's like, yeah, no, I only know
his rationale is correct. Like, yeah. Yes, the whole like one moment is going to like really stand out. Yeah, and there's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of guys in the league probably that have like a one moment thing. Aaron Gordon, because he won the dunk contest. Guys fit that bill a decent bit.
Yeah,
this last one was trash.
Next, we have Brody Smith to LaMelo Ball.
This is terrible.
A largely polarizing social media figure who quickly became good at the sport shortly after being introduced to it, has his fans and his fair share of critics as well. Hasn't quite panned out as how many expected at the highest
level. That doesn't mean he is a LaMelo Ball is literally an all-star quality guard. Like, he's one of the best guards, and he's had some injury issues, but like, he has panned out. He's been, when he's not hurt, he's been really good. He's on an awful team. He's on like one of the worst, or he's one of the worst organizations in the league. So that's why that
yeah, I don't really know if there's a great Brody Smith comp.
No, you would need a guy who decided to pick up basketball later in life.
Yeah, that like
which doesn't happen.
That had a bunch of,
there
like,
is no comp to Brody Smith's career in a major professional sport, probably.
It would be like if LeVar Ball got into the NBA.
Well, actually, no, there probably is. There anybody who has ever... Is there?
Ooh, Michael Jordan to baseball.
Yeah. No, that's actually it. No, there that's actually it.
Yeah. Michael Jordan went to baseball.
He's going to kill us for that one.
No, because we're comparing Brody Smith to Michael Jordan.
That's true.
On the scheme of NBA players.
That's true. He's a LeBron guy, I think. Ooh, maybe right. I'm going to get killed for saying that. I don't remember. Know.
And Space Jam is like Bro 5.
Now that now there that is. Is. Now
that's
and
something.
Now we're done.
Which one of us?
That's it. That's all I have to say
I'm
during
glad
this segment.
You upped us. That's good.
All right. Now what you're all here for. Okay. We got to fix our top 10.
It's time.
Right now we have Gannon Burr 1, Anthony Barella 2, Nicholas Antela 3, Kyle Klein 4, Ricky 5, Matty O 6, Aaron Gooseman Gossage 7, Calvin Heinberg 8, Cole Rodala 9, Ezra Robinson 10.
I just get a headache every time.
Let's just start with the DGPT standings. Shall we start there? And just see, like, how far off are we from that? How do I get to the standings? Standings, okay. All right, so right now, first off, I think AB needs to be one, not Gannon, because he has a second win now. I think we're all good there. Flip AB and Gannon. They're definitely 1-2.
Yeah.
And I think that it's gonna be like whoever wins AB 1, yeah. Gannon 2. Very I think we're good there. 1-2 is fine. Okay. The third in the Pro Tour standings is actually Kyle Klein. So let's actually go Stat Mando. Head-to-head, Kyle Klein.
Who are you going to compare him to?
Nicholas Antela.
Oh, okay. I was like, surely not getting him. Sir.
Okay, let me get this to be in our range here.
Let's find our range. Let him cook, which is basically the whole beginning of the season.
And then Kyle Klein's 9-7 against Nicholas. They've played against each other that many times. Good.
How's that possible?
How's that possible?
What did you
I went to the last year. Okay. I went to last year.
I was like, that can't be right.
Don't worry, guys.
2024 update.
Now they're 2-2 against each other, but Nicklaus has a win.
Yeah.
Although Kyle Klein's 100% inside the top 10, Nicklaus is only 75, finishing in 67th at Texas States.
Yeah, that was the most recent event, right?
Yeah. Yes. So I think
so. We get a bump. We get a flip flops.
I think we got to put Kyle above him. I mean, yeah. I know Nicklaus had a win, but you can't show up in 67th, no. Nicklaus.
It hurts you in the power rankings. Then he just took fourth at an A tier, which, you know, it's in the back of my head.
Okay. Now, I mean, should we question if Ricky jumps him?
Yeah, let's look at it.
Let's just take a look.
You got to see. This is how you do it. You know, if somebody starts falling down the ladder, you got to keep looking until they stop.
Ricky is 2-1 against Nicholas.
And what has he done recently?
But, again, Nicholas has a win. Ricky wasn't at the event. He had a win. Ricky came in 17th at Texas States, though.
Let's just hold it there.
I think we're okay there. If Ricky gets a win, then we can start talking. All right, next up down this list, we had Luke Humphreys is 5th on the Pro Tour list, first off. Let's just throw that out there. I don't know if we should...
took a second.
Should we... Let's compare him to Ricky.
Yeah.
Luke Humphreys.
That might not be fair. Might have to compare... He's not on the list. Probably compare him
okay,
to
Ricky's 2-1 to Luke.
Well, yeah, he's going
to
be...
Let's compare him to Matty O.
He's going to have a win against people because he took that second place.
Matty O's 3-1 against him. So, yeah, I don't... So, let's go... Let's just compare Luke Humphreys to Ezra Robinson.
Yeah, that actually could be a decent comp because Ezra Robinson hasn't had like a crazy start, I don't think. That could be a good comp.
2-2 against each other. Luke Humphreys has a second place. Luke Humphreys went 22nd, 29th, 2nd, 14th. Ezra's went 20th, 12th, 7th, 16th. I think Ezra is a better second place or better top 10.
I think he holds that spot.
Okay. Matty O, we need to compare Matty O to Ricky, though. And take a look at that here. Orem.
Things haven't changed a ton since we started this.
Wysocki.
This season. It's been pretty, pretty consistent. We might have to look at that Joseph Anderson.
Okay, they're 2-2 against each other. Ricky has 1 second place, though. Ricky's went 17th, 10th, 2nd, 10th. Matty O's went 4th, 45th, 6th, 8th. So I think Ricky should be ahead of him.
Yeah, probably.
Which he is. Boom.
Gossage is interesting, too. And I think Calvin is going to be probably...
Aaron Gossage...
He had a bad start after the first 14th. Event, I think.
He's went 3rd, 42nd, 16th, 22nd.
Yeah, he's been a little shaky since that first event.
So let's just compare him, Aaron the Gooseman Gossage, against Calvin Heimberg.
Yeah, look at Rodon, too. Some of these people toward the end we got to really look at.
Versus Heimberg. Because Heimberg, after the first event, has been good. They're 2-2 against each other, but one of those is a win, which is All-Star weekend. Doesn't count.
Heimberg's been good the last couple
weeks. Heimberg's went 34th, 3rd, 5th. Gossage went 3rd, 16th, 27th. So Heimberg's getting better. Gossage is getting worse. Heimberg's got to move up.
I think Heimberg needs to move just below Matty O. I think that's where he's sitting right now, which is crazy to say. But
okay, so now let's look at Gooseman to Cole Rodolin.
Is there anybody on the Pro Tour standings that we should be trying to flirt into this top 10 still that we haven't hit?
Mason Ford, Adam Hammes, Gavin Rathbun.
Okay, there's a few more names then.
Okay, so let's look at Cole Rodolin versus Aaron Gossage. 2-2 against each other. Again, one of them has the Pro All-Star weekend, though. But again, Rodolin's getting better. Gossage is getting worse.
Yeah.
I like Rodolin over him.
Okay.
If you're okay with that, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Okay. And then I guess we need to go Ezra to Gossage.
Yeah.
Ezra Robinson, that is.
Then we can try to put people into tens.
All right. Ezra is 3-1 against Gooseman. Wow. Should we?
Yeah, bump him up then.
Yeah, I think we got to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we'll start comparing people to Gossage at the 10 spot and see if he even holds there, you know?
Okay.
Just the way we roll.
So now let's look at Mason Ford versus Aaron Gossage.
Mason's been having a pretty good season.
He has. Mason Ford is 2-1 against the Gooseman.
He might jump him.
47th at chess, but then went 4th, 16th, 7th.
He jumps him.
All right. Mason Ford is now...
Maybe his first time in the power rankings. Congratulations.
I think so.
Welcome, Mason Ford.
I think it is. Let's compare Mason Ford to Ezra Robinson. Let's see how far up we go here.
He's been on a heater right now.
Mason Ford, they're 2-2 against each other, but Mason Ford is 50% in the top 10.
They're really close. You could probably.
I think we
got
to go to Mason.
I say you probably could bump.
Because if you go to chess, is where it gets confusing. But since chess, it's went 4th, 16th, 7th for Mason versus 7th, 12th, 20th. So I think Mason Ford needs to go up to 9th here.
I'm down.
All right, should we check? Let's look at Mason versus Cole Rodolin. Let's see how far up he's going. Cole Rodolin compared to Mason Ford, we now have Cole beats him out.
Okay.
So we're good there.
The buck stops here. The Ford stops here.
Mason, we also need to compare Adam Hammes to now Ezra Robinson. Adam Hammes to...
He hasn't had any super high finishes, but I might be wrong.
Ezra Robinson. Ezra beats him out.
Okay.
So I think we're good here. So the new top 10 is Anthony Barella first, Gannon Burr second, Kyle Klein third, Nicholas fourth, Ricky 5th, Matty O 6th, Calvin Heimberg 7th, Cole Rodolin 8th, Mason Ford 9th, Ezra Robinson 10th.
If you could
what a top 10.
If you could show me that 2 years ago when our top 10 still looked like Paul, Ricky, Eagle, Chris Dickerson, like that was what things looked like, I'd be like, you're out of your mind.
Going into the season, our end-of-year prediction was Gannon 1, Calvin 2, Isaac 3, Eagle 4, Ricky 5, Ezra Robinson 6, Kyle Klein 7, Simon Lazat 8, Matteo 9, AB 10.
Pretty good list, which is Simon and Isaac have both stunk so far this year.
Yeah.
But if those two-
Eagle, we don't know where Eagle's going to go.
Yeah, well, right now he's a ghost.
And I guess this must have been the list coming into the year is the one below it. I don't know. I have two lists down there.
Maybe we both made one. We both did.
I don't know whose is whose.
Well, mine probably has AB higher. Yeah.
At 8th.
Probably.
So you have Ricky 1. All right. Anyways, now FPO, Kristen 1, Own 2, Evelina 3, Missy 4, Holland 5.
This is a whole mess right here.
Let's look at the Pro Tour standings first.
I think Kristen could get dethroned here.
In FPO, we have Missy Gannon is leading points-wise. And then you have Evelina, and then you have Kristen.
Missy has to, oh my gosh, dude, this is going
to
be
okay,
gross.
Let's jump over to FPO.
This is going
to
be
and
just
let's
gross.
Just, let's just start with Owen Scoggins versus Kristen Tatar.
Okay. I think Missy is probably going to be the best case, though.
Well, but then we'll compare Missy to, we got to just go who's next to each other. Owen Scoggins, they're 2-2 against each other.
Such small numbers.
This is tight. Owen Scoggins hasn't finished outside the top four. Kristen went 1-2, 6-2.
You got to give it just to Scoggins, I think, just because her win came a week sooner than Kristen's has now. And just the way, well, then you have that A-tier thing that happened.
But did we factor that in?
They did play each other head-to-head.
It's just they're so close. Even with the 4th to 6th, there's only 3 strokes separating them.
I think we bump Kristen. I think we just do it because we can. It's been so long.
Okay. Now let's go.
Evelina to Kristen. Or do Missy to Kristen,
actually. Let's just go Missy to Kristen because Missy's going to jump Evelina.
That's going to be the interesting one.
Kristen's 3-1 against her.
Okay.
Yeah, because Missy went 9th, 3rd, 1st, 4th.
I mean, though.
But Kristen's better.
The last 3 weeks, though, it's...
The last 3 weeks, but...
It's been real close.
But how tight are we making this?
I don't know.
I think we're fine there. So let's go Missy to Evelina.
Surely Missy's going to be in third, though. I mean, she just won 2 weeks ago.
Missy did win a major.
It's also true. You might have to slide Missy over.
Okay,
Kristen.
Well, Missy definitely jumps Evelina. She's 3-2 against her. Missy Gannon, welcome to at least third place for now. Okay. Let's go Missy to Own. How about that?
Let's see.
Let's just see here. 3-3 against each other. So we've got Missy goes 4th, 3rd, 9th, 3rd, 1st, 4th. Own goes 9th. Oh, no. That first line's wrong. So 3rd, 9th, 3rd, 1st, 4th, 7th, 2nd, 1st, 4th, 3rd.
I think these are all so close, it's not even going to matter that much.
Should we just have a three-way tie for first between Owen, Kristen?
Good idea.
Kristen, and Missy are all tied for first.
That's a good idea.
I like that.
Three people tied for first, and then a fourth and a fifth. That's a good idea, Hunt. It's like in cars when they all tie for the Piston Cup. That's what this next event, that's what Jonesboro is going to be.
It's the Piston Cup.
It's there in California.
That's a really good analogy.
And they're trying to schmooze Dynaco.
I think that helped all of us understand the situation much better.
Okay. Yeah. No, I would say so. Come on, Hunt. Don't worry about the format.
Okay, and then we have fourth place. Now we just need to figure out fourth and fifth.
Well, let's look at the standings again and see who potentially deserves those spots.
Evelina. So I think Evelina and Holland. We have the same top
five.
Okay,
let's keep it.
So I think we're fine.
We're good.
So new FPO top five is Owen, Kristen, Missy all tied for first, Evelina in fourth, Holland in fifth. And
that's
the crazy thing is
that's a new one
that
for us.
Feels right.
Yeah, no, it does feel right.
Silas?
It's him. What's
Silas?
Up?
Silas?
Why are you yelling his name?
We don't have a Silas Selects.
Oh, we're not going to be able to get one.
I was going
to
have him just type a mold out on his phone.
That's not the same. We got to cancel today.
No,
week.
It's okay.
It has to when it happens, it has to happen the
you're
right,
right
way.
You're right. That would be
that would be such
it would just
be
so it'd be anticlimactic.
You're right. Okay, no Silas Selects.
I would hate to win that way.
No Silas Selects.
I'd hate it.
That wraps it up for this week.
Throw up everywhere.
Don't forget, if you are anywhere close to the Lynchburg area, come check out our new storefront location this Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern time.
Personally.
And you can also register for the event at 12 p.m. if you want to be in a foundation video, be on the main channel.
You want to get crushed by the Bogey Buds.
Yeah, y'all aren't going to win, but you can show up.
Can we be the Bogey Buds? We should have made that our April Fools, that we changed our team name.
From Bogey Bros to Bogey Buds?
The Bogey Buds. The Bogey Buds.
But no, if you want to see the new storefront, we're moving all this week, so it's going to be super exciting.
Heck of tall seasons.
Also, if you're watching this right now, there's a very solid chance that Trevor is still putting. From his punishment stream.
If you're still on Monday, then yes, I'm still putting. I might make it to Tuesday.
Trevor thinks it's taking him a long time. Connor and I are going to be out of here by like 2:30.
Yeah, it's only going to take us like 20 minutes.
You guys are going to be out here by like 1:15.
Honestly, Connor, do you just want to throw 1,000 putts? I'll rebound for you, then I'll throw my 1,000. You rebound for
me. Remember, you're going to throw about 4,000 putts.
Do you think I'm making only 25% of my 30-footers?
I'm talking to Connor. You might make 30.
Whoa, no, Trevor. The heck?
I think I'm going to make about 20% of mine, to be clear.
Well, Connor's way better putter than you.
True.
True.
30-footer on the line. 30-footer on the line.
Connor and I trying to compare our putting is like trying to compare a bucket of sludge to a bucket of garbage.
30-footer.
Dips on sludge.
30-footer with your life.
No, I'm the sludge.
With your life on the line, your two options are you putt it yourself or you have the other one of you two putt it.
Oh, me, of course. Because I'd rather have my own life in my hands.
I don't know.
Because I wouldn't want Connor to have to live with that.
Okay, no. My life's on the line.
Oh, no.
And one of you two has to throw the putt, and y'all have to decide between.
I'm having Trevor.
We're not making it actual. We're not having an actual decision being made. We're gonna put like a piece of paper.
Okay, but Trevor, for this stake, you're making an actual decision.
Trevor's made more pressure putts in his life than I have. Think about all the bogey bro battles.
There you go. All right, so Trevor makes more putts.
And 30 feet inside the circle.
I don't want to think about this. It makes me sad.
But Hunter is dead.
Yeah. All I'm thinking about is hearing a clang and then a bang. And that's Hunter's head.
30-footer, life on the line, anyone in foundation, we're all picking Clayton.
Oh, of course.
Of course. No, I'm picking Brody, dude.
But I'm picking...
Because then Brody's going to... He'll take care of my kids, man.
Brody would line up like this and be like, Scoobert.
Yeah.
I'm picking... Like, oh, just to be clear, I am... I am picking Clayton pre-Zuka Kart.
Like, 30-footer, you know. You're getting shot in the head? Oh, dark horse. Should I go left to Scoober? Should I?
Let's
see what the chat says.
I am also... But for real, though, I'm picking pre-Zuka Kart Clayton.
That
not
is
post
true.
Zuka Kart.
We
yeah.
can't... No joke.
I might be taking post-Zuka Kart Kyle.
Honestly, maybe. All right, we'll see you next week.
Kyle's got that swagger.